Zito from 7th to 1st in the final event. You are a champion.
And Oleksiak has done it! The girl from the 6 has got 6 Olympic medals!
The substitute for Canada just about gets it through! It's a glory gold for Canada!
Kathy Lefty goes up to Graham, takes the lead, looks a winner, draws away from Graham and Mary. This is a famous victory, a magnificent performance. What a legend, what a champion.
It is Off the Podium, an Olympics podcast coming to you today for a special midweek episode of the show. I want to say a bonus episode, but it's not really a bonus episode because in only a few weeks' time you're going to get used to these midweek episodes in the lead up to the Paris Olympics. So whetting your appetite a little bit about what's to come. But it's a special occasion today, a very special day when it comes to the Paris Olympics because it officially is 100 days to go until the Olympics in Paris start in 2024. It's so exciting to be able to utter those words and so exciting to be able to bring you today's episode. There was a special occasion held to celebrate the 100 days to go mark here in Australia. The Australian Olympic team officially launched their opening ceremony uniform at the Cleverly Surf Lifesaving Club in Sydney. In partnership with Sportscraft and Volley, the official creators of these uniforms, been doing so for 10 years, Sportscraft, by the way. So a gaggle of Olympians emerged on the beach today to showcase these uniforms. And we were there. We ventured out to the event to check it out, not only to see the uniforms and get up close and personal with them, but also chat to some of the Olympians who were there showcasing these fantastic new uniforms. We spoke to, today, Anna Mears, the great Anna Mears, four-time Olympian, of course, was on this show last year to speak on the One Year to Go special and, of course, his chef de mission for the Australian Olympic team. We also managed to grab some words with Tom Green, Olympic gold medalist in canoe kayak. We spoke to Nick Maloof, the captain of the men's Australian rugby sevens team. We also spoke to Marife Atacho del Solar, beach volleyball, two-time Olympian, silver medalist, of course, from Tokyo. We had her on the show not long after Tokyo, so great to get her back on the show. We also spoke to Tilly Kearns, water polo player, Tokyo 2020 Olympian, going for her second Olympics, and the great Michelle Heyman. Now, she, of course, is a Matildas player, represented Australia back in the Rio Olympics, retired, if you don't mind, so didn't go to Tokyo, but has come out of retirement, and since that retirement undoing, has absolutely starred. She's a star in the Australian A-League, scored 17 goals alone this year for Canberra United, and in Olympic qualifying, scored 5 goals in 2 matches against Uzbekistan to help book the Matildas a ticket to the Paris Olympics. So a big, big, big get to get Michelle on this show. And you're going to get a lot from these chats. So sit back, relax, and listen to our chats with Anna, Michelle, Tilly, Marife, Tom, and Nick. Anna Mears is with me again. Anna, I spoke to you on the 1 year to go in July, and now it's 100 days to go.
Yes.
It's gone by quickly, hasn't it?
It's gone by very quickly, and it will continue to go by even faster now that we're at 100 days to go.
As it was mentioned in the speech before, you've seen a few of these uniforms, of course, being to 4 Olympics yourself, but what's your initial take on these ones for Paris?
Look, I really like them. I love the colour. I love the fit. My favourite piece is the skirt. I just love the coming together of the colours, the pleating. It's really comfortable. It's flexible. It's breathable. It's going to be hot in Paris. So the fact that we have options in terms of what athletes can wear, whether they want to wear shorts or skirts or vests or singlets, you know, it's great.
Do you, as chef de mission, get to take one of these uniforms for yourself? You know, kind of if there's a spare one going from Sportscraft, you can be like, oh, I should get one of these.
Yeah, every member of the team gets one, you know, and we're going on the opening ceremony with the team. I'll be very proudly putting on this uniform for sure.
I love what you're saying about how you keep your uniforms from the years because you never know when you're going to sort of pull them out. Do you have a favourite one from the four, like the formal ones that you had that you kind of wear more than others?
Yeah, I tend to go for my London blazer. Mm-hmm. And that's my go-to one, definitely, my London blazer.
Do you still have the Athens one? The
yes.
lovely green with
green
the white?
With the stars, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I do.
That one often gets brought up. And then the Beijing one with the blue and the white highlights, I mean, they kind of stand the test of time. After a few years, people seem to like them a lot more.
Yeah, they do. And the really cool thing is when you move into the, you know, the AOA and come back in the alumni section, as once your competitive career ends, you really start to see the mix of uniforms from the mix of Olympic Games and cycles, and it's really cool. It's something that I don't think I appreciated when I was competing.
100 days to go. What are the next 100 days like for Annemies? Lots of athlete announcements, of course, but yeah. Outside of that, do you get any time off between now and the opening ceremony?
Yeah, I'm very fortunate that AOC have allowed me to have 5 great deputies to support me. So you'll start to see them at a lot more of the selection announcements now, because obviously I can't get to all of them and cover, you know, the other portfolios of this job as well. So it's a great opportunity for the media to get to meet them, for the sports and athletes to get to meet them. And it allows me to kind of work a bit more behind the scenes with the AOC team in the final phases of the planning and implementation of what we want to create for them in Paris.
With the 50 or so that have been announced so far, the ones you've met, any favourite stories stand out for some of the athletes, maybe getting a chance to chat to them?
Yeah, there's a lot. You know, Brianna Whitehead, who was our third Olympian selected, has a mechanical engineering degree, and she built her own board in the backyard with her dad. Just amazing things like this. Is such good stories, and that's just... I think the thing that I like the most, other than letting people know that they're Olympians for the Paris Olympic team, is facilitating the stories, because I don't want people to forget that they're human underneath the athlete facade, and they can teach us so much on humility, on resilience, on dedication, commitment, compassion, love, pain. There's so many things that they can talk to, and they're great role models as a result.
Because it's such a unique journey for you. I mean, 20 years ago, you were making your Olympic debut. I'm not to try to age you there, Anna, but do you remember, like, when you were sort of told, and who the chef de mission back then, sort of all the sort of things that you're doing now back to when you were first Olympics?
Yeah, John Coates was the chef de mission at my first Olympics 20 years ago. Thanks for reminding
you're
me
welcome.
Of that in Athens. I was 20 years of age. And it was just such a surreal experience. I remember putting on my skin suit for the first time and feeling like I borrowed Superman's cape. You know, and I said that to the athletes in Rio when I spoke to them as the flag bearer. I'm 5'4", but when I put on that uniform, I feel like I instantly grow to 6 foot tall. You know, there's something that putting this uniform on that represents Olympians of past and the chapter that we're writing in the Australian Olympic team history today is really powerful.
Last question for you. I know you're not going to tell me the answer, but I'm sure you get a bit of a say who the flag bearers will be. Can you give us a hint of the inner workings going on right now at Chef de Mission headquarters about who will be carrying that flag in the opening ceremony?
Yeah, it's amazing. Since I've taken on this job, I didn't realize that. It's my choice.
Wow, you get the choice.
I get to choose the flag bearer.
Should have brought some notes to hand some ideas to you. I'm a Tasmanian, Eddie Ockenden, that's all I'll say.
Oh, you know, there are so many great athletes on the cusp of being selected. We've got over 310 quota spots qualified, even though we've got 55 athletes selected. That's why I said this team will ramp up in size very, very quickly in the next little while. So certainly I'll be looking for all of the athletes as they come through as to who could be a potential flag bearer, and there will be 2, male, female, as we saw in Tokyo. So
you know, you've got some ideas, I'm sure you do. Anna, appreciate your time, thank you so much, and best of luck with everything.
Pleasure, good Cheers. To chat to you again. Cheers.
Michelle Heyman, first of all, welcome to the show. How are you feeling in this beautiful uniform that you're wearing right now?
I feel so happy and so good. I was like, I've never felt so sharp.
Yeah, I don't think you've ever looked as sharp. And obviously having all the names and kind of the oath and everything in there that kind of symbolises everything to do with the Olympics obviously adds a little bit of extra speciality to it.
Yeah, most definitely. Like, it's a honour to be able to have this and to put this on and to wear it, because I think, you know, this gives me more inspiration of what I want to achieve for myself personally and as a team.
You speak of that inspiration. You said up there on the stage before that your dream was to represent Australia at the Olympics. You did that in Rio. What would a second Olympics mean to you?
it would mean even more. It's a different way to look at it, especially after my retirement, because I didn't think I would ever be here again. So this one means, you know, I think it comes more from the heart and more of that hard work and dedication that I've put in to achieve to get to where I am today. So it's kind of like I'm bringing all little bits of emotions from all those years that I've been able to play for my country, and to, you know, to finish it off, you know, with something like this would be such an incredible way to, you know, to jump out of retirement and to be part of this Olympics.
I feel that word retirement is just, I think we all need to retire if we can come out of retirement and all of a sudden kick some ass the way you've been doing the last couple of years. I mean, 17 goals in the A-League, 5 goals in qualifying. I mean, just everyone needs to retire, right? It seems to bring out the best in them.
It's funny because I've said that to so many people. I'm like, sometimes you just might need to step away for a little bit, just take, it doesn't even have to be a year, but just take time away from what you're constantly doing, because you need to refresh. You need to be able to refocus and not feel fatigued all the time. And that's what I was feeling during my last time with the Matildas. So for myself to spend a year out doing nothing and to be doing, you know, other things, I got into Pilates, I got back into playing touch football, I did the things that I used to do as a kid, and it reminded me of how much I love to play and how much I miss just playing the game of football. So I'm very lucky that that 1 year turned into being the best thing that has ever happened for my footballing career.
So that love, finding that love again for the game is obviously so important to help out there. And do you kind of send a few texts to Tony every now and then going like, hey Tony, I love the game so much and I'm also scoring lots of goals, please pick me for Paris?
Pretty much, minus the text bit. I think he can see the pure joy that I bring into each camp. I'm always smiling. Everyone knows me as that smiling human now. So for me, it's just making sure that I'm doing everything possible to be the best. Michelle.
Well, I was going to say, Michelle, best of luck. That is your name as well, but we appreciate your time and good luck for the Olympics.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Tilly Kearns, nice uniform. How are you feeling?
Good, thank you. I'm excited. It's starting to feel a little bit more real now that we've got the uniform on.
Second one of these now. I mean, how does it compare to your Tokyo one, do you think?
I mean, there's not much you can do with green and gold, but I feel like they've just taken it to a whole nother level with this uniform. I love the blazer, especially the finer details. They've really put a lot of work into it, a lot of extra thought, which shows how much we mean to the Australian Olympic team and, yeah, how much they care about us.
100 days to go. When you hear those words, is it scary? Is it exciting? Does it just, you know, get you all ramped up, ready to go for the Olympics even more?
Yeah, I don't think it's scary. It's definitely more exciting for me personally. I'm ready to go. I can't wait to get there and show the world what we can do.
Obviously, fifth in Tokyo, the desire to get back into those medal rounds. What's the confidence levels like amongst the team?
Yeah, fifth wasn't where we wanted to finish in Tokyo. We were striving for that gold medal and we were good enough to get there, and we fell short against Russia in the quarterfinal. Those quarterfinals are my Achilles heel. They're hard to get past, but I think, ultimately that's the goal. Every single game in the Olympics is important, especially this Olympics, because there are no easy games. Every single game's going to be hard and you've got to win every game. It's definitely a redemption, but it's going to take a lot to get there.
In the group, Hungary, Canada, China and Netherlands. We're a bit of a co-Canada-Australia podcast. Tell us a little bit about the Canadian team. Our co-host Colin likes to think they're amazing, but we're Australian. Come on, how much have we got Canada in the group stage?
We're a pretty similar team. All of our games are very close. We pipped them at World Champs in the one of the last games. I think we trade against them as well in the lead up to it, and they beat us a couple of times. We beat them a couple of times. So really, whoever brings it on the day, but I'm confident in Team Australia.
I also, fun fact that I discovered about you, were born 9 days after Australia won gold at the Sydney Olympics in water polo. I feel like it's kind of almost destiny that you got into this sport and that you would become an Olympic gold medalist in water polo.
Yeah.
Do you think it's destiny? Do you think this is meant to be, that you are meant to wear that gold around your neck one time at the Olympics?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully that's the goal. Whether I was born 8 days after or not, then, you know, we're all striving for that gold medal. I think I've come from an athletic family and I was in mum's belly at the Olympics and she was there watching, so maybe that has a little bit of a correlation, but yeah.
And one thing I want to add too, massive TikTok following. I kind of want to ask some advice for our show because, you know, we need some help with that, but will the blazer and the uniform play much into any of the TikTok posts sort of today going home?
Yeah, of course. I mean, this stuff is what made me blow up in the first place. People were just fascinated to see all this kind of content. yeah, there's definitely some videos on the horizon that I can't wait to show the world, show people the behind the scenes and, yeah, all the special things that come with being an athlete.
What is that one advice? And give us some advice, Shilly, about how can we get to the 400,000 tick? Do I need to get some uniforms and kind of post some content like that?
No, I think it's just more being about authentic and being true to you, showing off your personality as well. Like, there's so many athletes, but you got to show them your personality and what makes you special and telling your own story in your own unique way.
Beautiful, Tilly. Well, we appreciate your time here on the show. Best of luck for Paris and thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
I am here with, and I got the pronunciation so well when I had her on the show a couple of years ago, but I've written it down here again. Let's go. Marife Artacho del Sola.
Oh, that's good. You did well.
I'm terrible at usually saying names, but yours is a name that I always like to get right. So welcome back. First of all, third Olympics, third uniform. How are you feeling wearing this one?
Yeah, look, it's such an honour. And every time I get to put on the green and gold, it's always, you know, the same feeling, but it's always different experience. And very proud and an honour to be able to wear this today.
It's a lot more green than the last two, which I think it really stands out. I mean, are you a fan of the colour green? You play for Australia. I'm assuming you love the colour green, of course.
Yeah, no, I love it. It's an absolutely beautiful colour. I think they've done really well, so it looks really good on everyone. So I'm excited to put it on in Paris.
100 days to go. Are those words daunting or exciting when people keep saying that a lot to you today?
Yeah, no, I think it's exciting. I mean, it's getting so close. It's come around quick. So 100 days to go. Wow, I can't believe it.
Give us an update where you're at right now in terms of yourself, the performance. I mean, how close are you to being back on that plane to the Olympics?
Look, we're on track. We're preparing. We're heading to Europe to play a few tournaments leading to Paris.
Just getting pumped and excited for it, and yourself and Tilikwa. I mean, how do you feel kind of now 100 days out going in as Olympic medalist compared to obviously the last time? People obviously may be a bit more aware of you now coming out of Tokyo with that silver medal. Add some pressure. You like that sort of going in? People know you a bit more now, maybe, perhaps?
Yeah, I think it'll be good to, grab that experience from our last Olympics going into Paris. Maybe a little bit of an advantage knowing and having experienced that. So, yeah, we'll definitely use it to our advantage.
And that venue underneath the Eiffel Tower, did you ever imagine when you started beach volleyball that you would get to play underneath the Eiffel Tower?
I know, right? It's going to be magical. Paris is one of my favourite cities, and to have the opportunity to play in front of the Eiffel Tower, I think it's just going to be an unforgettable experience.
And the added incentive too, your name so close to being in that jacket after Tokyo. Now that you can see those names on there, you can see Kerry and Natalie back from Sydney, of course. I mean, that adds a bit more inspiration for you and Tilikwa, no doubt, to get in the jacket for LA in 4 years' time.
Yes, for sure. No, it's pretty cool that we have all the Olympic gold medalists in the jacket, and definitely very motivating to get ours on there too.
Well, we're all behind you and we're cheering you on, so best of luck for Paris, and we look forward to seeing you there.
Thank you very much.
We are here now with Olympic gold medalist Tom Green. Tom, first of all, welcome to the show. Looking dapper. How are you feeling in this this lovely little uniform you're wearing?
No, I'm feeling really good. Sportscraft have done an amazing job once again, and it fits and it's really comfy. So
is this the first jacket you've ever owned with your name inside of it?
Yes, apart from the one that I've had to ride on it so I don't lose it. But this is my first one.
It must be a pretty special feeling though to be amongst all those other names that are inside that jacket and to kind of see just the greats of Australian Olympic history that your name is beside.
Yeah, of course. Being alongside some of the names that are in here is just so special to be a part of and an honour. So Australia have always had such an emphasis on sport and of the Olympics at that. And it's an honour to be a part of it.
100 days to go. Does this time feel a little bit different going into Olympics with the gold medal around your neck?
Of course. Like, I think now I know what I need to do and what we need to do as a team to accomplish this again. And we're doing everything we can between now and then to not replicate, but to, I guess, remaster.
What is now and the next 100 days like for you and John? Just a lot of training? Are there many events sort of to compete in between now and then? Can you give us a bit of a rundown on the next 100 days?
So I fly out on Friday to do a training camp in Europe, and then we'll compete at the World Cup and come away with, hopefully a lot of learning from that into Paris. So we're only competing twice this season internationally, and we're saving it for the big dance.
I was going to say, does that help, or like saving it help, or would you prefer to be competing to get a bit of momentum going on into the Olympics?
I think saving it helps. Racing, it takes a lot out of you, because it's not just the racing, it's the getting everything sorted, flying to the country, you're doing all this stuff. So I think, saving our bickies between now and then.
And basically you're in Europe till the Olympics, not coming back to Australia beforehand?
No, we will come back to Australia and do, a training camp here after the World Cups. And then we'll head back over to Europe for another longer training period over there.
In terms of the course itself, have you had much of a chance to check out where you will be racing there in Paris, and what's your thoughts on it?
The course in Paris, we were there in September for the test event, and it was really good. It was really nice. I think there's a lot of things that are still getting put in place. Same in Tokyo. When we went there in Tokyo for the test event, and then we went there for the games, it was nearly completely different in a way. I think that's the same with Paris, and I think they're going to pull it off really well.
In terms of having things like fans back, you're going to have your family there, obviously a bit different to Tokyo. I'm sure that's great for you and John, obviously, to have that alongside of you as well.
Yeah, I think the most special thing about it is being able to share that part, the pointy end of our journey with those people that have helped us so much. So I think, it's going to be very special.
I discovered that no pair in the K2-1000 has ever defended their title, which I'm not trying to add the pressure onto you. I'm just trying to make it so that not only can you create history with the second gold medal, but you and John can create that history. I mean, were you aware of that fact that no one has ever, pair has defended their title?
Yeah, I was not aware of that. And it's funny because we're not going to be able to, because it's changing from the 1,000 to the 500. So I guess...
Count it if you do it. Come on.
Yeah, I guess so. So I think, with that, we're going to be going there doing absolutely everything we can to accomplish our absolute best results. So, yeah.
Well, we're going to cross our fingers and toes for it, mate. Best of luck for you and John, and thanks for joining us on the show today.
Thank you very much.
Nick Maloof. Nick, first of all, welcome to the podcast. Uniform, how are you feeling in it?
Good. I'm usually a big sweater, and apparently it's going to be hot over there, so I got to say, it felt pretty cool in this. So that's a big tick for me. And then I guess the fact that it looks fantastic is... that's not my domain, but I can appreciate when something looks good, and this certainly does.
It's your third one. How does it rank to Rio and Tokyo's uniforms, do you reckon?
I like it. I like the shorts, to be honest. The shorts are good. They're nice and stretchy. A few of the other boys were talking. The problem with these chinos is they're usually very tight around our quads, and the fact that these are nice and stretchy is awesome. And then, everything just feels comfortable, and... I don't mind the little bit of blue, something different. I was chatting to one of the sportscraft ladies, and she said the bottle green's a little bit overdone, so that's why we've got a slight blue look in the green, but no, it's good.
Obviously, all the names of the gold medalists in the jacket, see the girls from Rio, of course, their names in there. How would it feel to possibly have the boys' names in there come Paris in 100 days' time?
It would be exciting. It's a really cool initiative. They had the same thing for the last Olympics as well. I think it's just, you sort of feel that energy when you put the blazer on, and all of us here want to have our names inscribed when the next one comes around. So, fingers crossed.
In terms of yourself, the boys, 100 days to go, how's the team looking? Your second games as captain as well. I mean, how are you feeling this time around as second game as captain?
I would say more confident than I have been previously. I think the fact that we were able to win the World Series 2 years ago was a big tick. I guess in this season we've been able to match it with some of the top teams, albeit falling a little bit short in some of those finals earlier in the year. But just really excited and confident within our group. And I think if we've got the right players fit and healthy and... really confident and sure of the way we want to play, then there's no reason we can't be on the podium.
I was going to say, obviously, the first two games, quarterfinal exit. So, obviously, getting past that barrier, then you're, a 75% chance of a medal, right? Yeah. So it's getting through that quarterfinals and then seeing what can happen, basically, from there.
Yeah, we've always spoken about the quarterfinal is arguably the biggest game of the weekend, because you win that, then as you say, you're a chance of playing for the medal. So lots of focus for us on that game in particular, and hopefully we do well in the pools to set ourselves up with a good crossover there, and then from there, yeah, just got to knuckle down for the quarter and go from there.
It's a unique schedule. You guys are obviously playing pretty much before the opening ceremony, have the opening ceremony off, and then if you get to the medal rounds, that's it. So are you allowed to march in the opening ceremony, or is that kind of like you cross that bridge when it comes to it after those first 2 days?
At this stage, I don't think we will be, because it's a six-hour process-ish, which the day before a finals, after two grueling days of competition, might be the last thing on everyone's mind. As much as we'd love to be a part of it, I think in terms of making the right choice for performance is probably to step away, and hopefully we'll choose a medal over going to the opening ceremony.
So it's obviously 98 days really for you guys, isn't it? People are saying 100 days, but it's less for you.
Yeah, you're right. It's an interesting format. We haven't kicked off before. We've always been, we were day one of competition in Tokyo. So, yeah, bit of a change, but it's all good.
And Stade de France, obviously, and looking forward to some crowds this time around after the last Olympics.
Yeah, I guess that'll be the big difference. And I think you saw how popular the Rugby World Cup was, and everyone that was over there for that experience just speaks so highly of it. So the French, they love their rugby. We're looking forward to being a part of it and putting on a show and soaking up all that atmosphere, and I think it'll be great.
Well, mate, best of luck, and we'll see you in Paris, and we'll see you afterwards in the last shiny gold medal around your neck. How does that sound?
Sounds good to me. Thank you.
And a massive thanks to all of our guests there to chat with me out there at the beach today. It was a pretty fun event to see the uniforms up close and personal, and a very strong media contingent showing up today, which was really, really great to see. Lots of people there wanting to cover the uniforms. And if you haven't seen the uniforms, by all means, head to our social media right now. We've got a video and some images up there of the event today as well, and just looking fantastic, looking stunning, and they will definitely be standing out when it comes to being on the barge down the Seine. And had to ask Anna about the flag bearers, didn't I? You know, putting it out there, Eddie Ockenden, fifth Olympics if he makes it, just saying, as a Tasmanian, carried the flag at the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham, so I'm sure he's up there with a very good shot should he be selected for his fifth Olympic Games. But a great event and great pleasure and a privilege to be out there for that event. So thanks to everybody at the Australian Olympic team, Australian Olympic Committee, of course, and Sportscraft for letting us go along there and chat. I will say, actually, the one fun thing that I nearly wanted to play the clip. We had technically stopped recording with Anna, but the microphone was still rolling. But Anna remembered our fun little game that we had last year when we spoke to her for the 1 year to go event. And she actually questioned me. She's like, oh, no quiz this time. No little trivia game to play. And we actually did have it set up to play. We were going to go ahead and do it. We were going to film those interviews, and we were going to provide a bit of fun for our social media. But let's just say that when you're at a beach, there's waves and cliffs and rocks, it's a little bit noisy, and it's also quite windy. And when you're a solo team for off the podium, it's a little bit hard to be able to film that. So unfortunately, we sort of had to scrap our plan to have a little fun game there with Anna and the athletes. But good to see Anna has not lost her competitive spirit. And if you've watched any of the great content they're putting out there in the AOC at the moment with Anna hosting some of these great sit-down podcasts, she did one with Matt Denny recently where she has a nice little fun game there with him. So that competitive nature with Anna Mears still exists. So next time we get her back on the show, we'll have to make sure we have a nice little game for her to play there. So we'll do that for you just then, Anna. We promise you there. We have got so much to come here on Off the Podium. I'm actually a little bit sad that I don't have Jared and Colin on here to be able to really do a big celebratory 100 days to go episode, because that would be worthy of the occasion. 100 days to go is always a big milestone for the Olympics, but we've still got some great coverage. Jared, Colin, and myself will be together this Friday because we are doing our latest episode in our classic opening ceremony series where we go back and look at opening ceremonies of the past in the Olympics and give our verdict on them. And it's a fun one this Friday because we're actually doing another Redux. We did a Rio Redux a while back. This is going to be a Pyeongchang opening ceremony Redux. We were on air when Pyeongchang was on back in 2018, so we technically already covered that opening ceremony, but we covered it mere minutes after it concluded. So we were fresh, we were thinking on the spot, we'd just seen it for the first time. 6 years has passed since those Olympic Games, and we obviously look at it with a bit more of a fresh perspective. Two other Olympics have happened since those Olympics, so how does that taint our view on the Pyeongchang Olympics? But I will say, it's a fun episode, and you might be pleasantly surprised just where our thoughts sit now on the Pyeongchang 2018 opening ceremony. Time has been kind to that opening ceremony, and you will hear exactly why we think that this Friday. And the fun part of what we do here on Off the Podium is we record episodes generally out of order. So obviously I'm recording this on the day of 100 days to go till the Paris Olympics. We recorded that episode 2 days ago before this. So therefore there's going to be real no reaction to what we all think of the opening ceremony uniform, because also since we've recorded that, Canada has released their uniforms as well, which you then hear me ask Colin on Friday questioning. It's like a time vortex thing, basically. You're wondering why we're saying one thing and then there's times passed and everything along those lines. That's why we do these episodes, to help explain it to you. But the point is, tune in on Friday. You will enjoy that episode. Just ignore all the things that maybe don't make sense outside of that. And outside of that, I will continue to use the same words again. We have some great interviews coming your way in the next couple of weeks. We are going to the sport of swimming, which is a fun sport. I think we all enjoy it, particularly in this part of the world, but not with an Australian swimmer, not even with a Canadian swimmer, not even with an American swimmer. We are talking to somebody from the country of Suriname. And I just want to leave it there. I will reveal who that is this Friday if you tune into the show. But let's just say he is an iconic swimmer from Suriname who does have a very big connection to the United States. So that one's coming your way very, very shortly. We're also getting back into the sport of triathlon. We are getting into the sport of equestrian in the discipline of dressage, if you don't mind. A sport and a discipline that we have had a variety of things to say about over the last few years, but we finally get somebody on from dressage on this show. And we also then going to be going back into cycling, artistic swimming, if you don't mind, breaking, returning to that as well, and plenty of other things that we are covering. So many great athletes to come. And I'm excited to officially announce, I think we've already officially announced, but I'll officially announce it again, that beginning in May, we will be having a weekly news episode. We've been teasing this for some time. It is finally happening. We will be bringing you every week one designated hour where we just talk about anything that's happened during the week through the world of the Olympics. And not just from an Australian and Canadian perspective. We've got a bunch of new people to join the show lined up where we're going to get a different perspective from right around the world. And we're hoping to have a lot more contributors to this show, not only for this news episode, but during the Olympics themselves in only a few months' time. Lots of great things happening behind the scenes here at Off the Podium to really help cover the Olympics for you. And outside of that, as I said at the beginning of this episode, we are then going to be moving to multiple episodes a week. So beginning in May, we're going to have our weekly news episode and then two interviews dropping every single week for you. We've got that many coming out of our ears right now that we really want to make sure that you get the content you deserve, really get you pumped and loaded for the Olympic Games, obviously 100 days away, so plenty to keep you occupied, and some other special episodes coming your way as well. So stay tuned. To do that, search for Off the Podium wherever you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to the show. Leave us some feedback. We'd love to hear what you think of the show. And of course, social media, if you wish to follow us on all our social channels, search for Off the Podium. We're on X, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on TikTok. Tilly gave us some advice there before, so perhaps you can listen to her advice, make us be ourselves, and really help expand the show on there and that. But follow us, stay up to date with everything. Let us know what you think of the show. Any requests for athletes or episodes or anything along those lines, let us know what you think of the uniforms and just share with us any content. If you're listening to us from a country outside of Australia or Canada, let us know about your country's uniforms. Perhaps share us an image. If you're listening to us in Latvia, what does a Latvian team uniform look like? And maybe we can compile a collage of some of the best uniforms from around the world. We got tagged in a post from the Irish team in the last week or so showcasing their uniforms, and they're looking very special and very spit and proper. So I love seeing them. Let us know. We are open to anything, and we appreciate your support wherever you do listen to us here on Off the Podium. Thanks again to the AOC for letting us come along today, and to Sportscraft, and to all of our guests who are on the show today as well, to Anna, to Michelle, to Tilly, to Marife, I'm getting that name down pat, to Tom, and to Nick. It was a pleasure to have you all on the show to learn about those journeys along the way. Thanks again for tuning in. I'm going to stop saying thanks. Shout out to Jeff Momoa, too. I'm sure it's probably his brother or something like that. The Birmingham Bull. You took the words right out of my mouth. If you've enjoyed this episode, my name has been Ben Waterworth. And if you haven't, it's been Noah Groves. Good night.